step-by-step approach to improving yourself and your organization. Here's Alan Rodway.
Oh, I love this segment every week. Alan Rodway is with us from yourcoachonline.com.au. It's good to have him back. Al, good afternoon to you, sir.
How are you, Half? We have the most amazing guest in the studio with us, don't we?
We do. One of my favourite people on the planet, to be honest with you.
A very learned and proven gentleman.
Yeah, correct, and a very learned and proven scholar as well.
He is.
Over many, many years, of course, he's well known to our audience listening at the moment as an AFL legend and an icon of the game. And David Parkin, of course, is who we're referring to. Parko, good afternoon.
Daniel, I'm very pleased to be here and to hear those lovely words.
I mean them, David.
Can you ring up my children and grandchildren and educate them?
I'm sure they say the same
thing.
No,
they don't.
I'm sure they do. What are we looking at today, boys?
David wrote an article which he very kindly supplied to the Your Coach Online website, Half, called What I Know at 70 That I Wish I'd Known at 30. And I'll say this to you, that lights have gone on all over the world about this article, and that's literally true. We've never had a readership of anything as strong as this article has. So
yep.
It's the level of respect, if you like, he has for what he's achieved in his life. So we're going to have a chat about some of this, because there's a lot in it.
Yep.
In terms of coaching of people, so it's not just about football. It's about elevating performance in people and David's insights right through his whole career. So have a chat about that.
I've had a quick squeeze at this, Parko, and you've got under 10 sort of subheadings for the article. You can check it out at the website, yourcoachonline.com.au. And you open up with probably, I don't know if it's the most important one, you can tell me that, but be yourself. And that's the first thing.
Yeah, and I make the point in the article that you tend to ape, adopt, become the people that you respect enormously in the field that you might be working. And in my case, John Kennedy was the only real coach I'd had throughout my playing career, and thought that that's what I wanted to be, because he was very effective when doing it. Didn't have either the personality or the character to carry out. And it was, I went to WA and studied and coached Subiaco over there, Daniel, and a mate came over, John Kilpatrick, who in fact was the fitness advisor for me at Hawthorne.
Great
and
man.
As he was getting on the, as you know him well, a good fellow, John, and killer, said, can I tell you something as he got on the plane? I said, very happy to hear. He said, stop being John Kennedy and start being David Park. And he got on the plane.
Is that right?
And on the table, it was a very slow drive back from the airport as I considered what he said. But the reality was he was right. And when I came to grips with who I was and what and the way I should go about it, not only did I get better, but so did the team.
I imagine, Al, from your feedback and dealings with a lot of corporates, that successful managers are exactly that. They know who they are first. It's all very well to try and know who everyone else is, but if you don't know who you are, it's probably very difficult to manage other people.
Absolutely. And I think it's a real cancer in the corporate world that people will look at who the managing director is or who the owner is and try and emulate their style because that's who they are. And obviously it's really dangerous because it doesn't work.
And Parker, do you see, or did you see at that time, a better response from your players when you started?
Oh, well, not initially, but for me, I was much more comfortable, and being comfortable and not trying to be somebody else, you become authentic, I suppose, in nature, and people start to understand who I was and what I expected and really wanted to be. So there is no doubt in my mind, because people that I coached at the end of the time came back and talked about the person I was at the start, that they thought was the most oratorial and dictatorial at all time, in fact, was a half reasonable, empathetic soul who did listen and engage with them. So, I think, Daniel, making a conscious decision like that ain't easy, because we're all, as Mick Malthouse said, it's habitual behaviour and it's very hard to change, and habitual behaviour is very hard to change, but it was possible to change because I was being something that I really wasn't.
Yeah, okay, important, be yourself, number one. The second theme you've got is understand the motives and drivers of yourself and others. Now, I think that, just reading that sentence there, that seems to be a no-brainer, but how do you do it, Parko?
Well, this is, and Al and I have had a lot of long discussions about this in our own lives, what's important to us, what we want to do. And I think the only chance that you've got, and it's about good engagement. I talk about good engagement as being really smart about asking the right questions in the first place. And then actually for a change, listening and hearing what this person is saying to you. And then as a result of what you hear, then engage in the discussion with them, where they're going. And we, Alan and I, are both into this, of people understanding about ourselves, what really is our drivers, what is important to us. you know, why are we here, where are we going, how are we going to get there, has been my common flow with every player and every member of staff. Every 6 months, had to have that conversation with me, because I think if I did understand it, I could help them to get what they wanted, but at the same time achieve the things that we together, yep, he and I needed to do. And I think it's a great starting point for an individual. Keep asking, why am I here? Where am I going? Because a lot of people, and Ellen and I have found this in working with, workshopping with people, we get the phone call and the email a week later, I've just left the job. I've just left the job because you made me think about it. And what I was doing is not really what drives me. I am interested in something else. And we had a conversation today exactly along those lines of finding people, helping them to find. And this is where I think the education system is so important. I walked into Hartwell Primary School up the road where my granddaughter is to see over the door. It is our responsibility to discover and nurture the talent of your child. And I thought, hooray, here's a school is actually doing what they're supposed to do, because we're all sitting around this table now as an end result of something that we're good at and people helped to develop us and we got fulfilled in doing it. So I'm all for that discussion. Not easy. Mm. I'm not a great engager in that, Gray L. It's not easy to have discussion, but to force people to go through that process. Yeah. And I walked into Glenn Manton's place not all that long ago, and on the back of the door, you know, this is 15 years later, is a copy of the objectives we had for him on and off the field in June 2000.
Wow.
And here we were, it was not the little A4, it was a thing blown up on the back of the dunny door, and because he's anal retentive, he's colour-coded them and dated them when he'd achieved. And I can still see it because there were six on the door and he got five of them home. The one he didn't get was to play for Victoria for the State of Origin. They didn't have it.
Yeah.
So he got five out of five, and only one was about the team. Play in and win finals, something might have been one. The rest were about him, because we're all driven by selfish desires, selfish outcomes.
Yep.
But the one that really intrigued me was under the line. It was the NFEs, your non-football engagement. What is coming? The only one I can remember, there were three. The only one I could remember was to establish white line. And you might know of Glenn's background, where he worked with those kids at the end of Park Street in the, it's a juvenile justice centre now, but it used to be the boys' home down there. And on the back of his commitment to these young people who'd crossed the line and were incarcerated in a sense in that system, he set up White Line back in 2001. It is now the national program for the rehabilitation of prisoners. Yeah. Now, where did that come out of? It came out of a discussion with his footy coach. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to delve as to where he's going when he finally finishes. And he's got this love of young people, which he still has, and is committed to making their lives better. That came out of a discussion with his footy coach.
Fascinating.
Yeah,
it's fascinating.
David knows it. I've stolen that question many, many years ago, and I torment clients with it. And I keep saying it's the David Parkin question, why are you here? But it takes courage on the part of the person asking it, because you can be quite fearful of what the truth is in the answer. It takes courage for the asker and for the person who takes on the responsibility for answering it, because I said to Parker before we came in, more than half the time, if I ask a group of people in business why you're here, more than half the time someone in that room will leave if there's more than, say, 10 or a dozen people, because they don't have an answer or they have the wrong answer. Mm. So it takes some real courage to do it. But you got to say, well, let's applaud that. If you're not in the right place, then you really shouldn't be here.
Alan Rodway is with us from yourcoachonline.com.au this afternoon. We've got a very, very special guest. In fact, it's a joy to have David Parkin with us in the studio. He's written an article for the website, What I Know at 70 That I Wish I'd Known at 30. Now, it's a 10-phase process, 10-themed article, 10 steps throughout that. We're not going to get through all of them today, but I encourage you to get to the website and read it and understand a bit more about it. It's much more fun talking to Parker about it because he gets animated. He gets up and about. That's why
he's not visual, huh?
Oh, I'd love to have a video in here. Well, let's move to the next one, boys. And I love this, and I think this is absolutely Parkin 101. If it ain't broke, smash it.
A lot of people think it's a fairly stupid philosophical approach to business, particularly when you're doing things well.
Yep.
And I think Hawthorn's probably the classic example for those who are interested in sport, and particularly footy, and the team that's doing it best. I think Al Clarkson's probably the best example I've known of this, and his philosophy being there's always a better way of doing doing tomorrow what you've done today, even though you are successful. Mm. And I think everybody would be aping and copying Hawthorn on those, you know, trying to do the things they're doing, instead of saying, no, we'll add to or do something a little differently. And it's not easy to do that, particularly when you're convinced that what you're doing is superior to anybody else, and it is possibly the best way of doing it. But I reckon you've got to have this conversation. I know that's the conversation they had at Hawthorn between season 13 and 14.
Yep.
How are we going to, the people, key people in, how are you, how are we going to do this differently and better, and got probably the most complete result I have ever seen in AFL football in the last day in September.
Yeah. Is there resistance to this, and you were talking about the business world before, Al, is there resistance to this when you are being successful, as Parker says, because you are successful?
There's not so much resistance, but they don't think of it. So, like, when I was on air from the Blue Mountains last week with these very, very big finance brokerages, and I quoted this from Dave because I had this article then. He said, you know, if it ain't broke, smash it. If you don't take that approach, you'll still have black and white TVs and, you know, mobile phones like a brick and all that sort of thing. But they don't ask the question. They really just compete with their competitors rather than try and be separate from their competitors. So we also talked off air before coming on. It's more about asking the right questions than trying to find the right answers. You've got to ask the question first, do I have the right question? And the question behind this is, okay, are we the best? Yeah, well, we are. Are we likely to stay the best if we keep doing what we're doing? The answer is no. Mm. Well, now you have to ask a different question. What do we need to change?
It takes a bit of probably courage. And I imagine even for Clarko, I mean, he would know that there's people coming all the time. That's the game, Parko. But to be the best and be so dominant and still think, oh, hang on a second, we've actually got to keep improving this. Otherwise, we'll just stand still and be overtaken.
And in the finish half, it might be difficult for him to remain in the same institution for more than 10 or 12 years, because then you totally do exhaust the directions and improvements and modifications you can make. But going into another entity, then gets another shelf life of 10 or 12 years as they go through a very similar process. Mm. It is tough when you're tough at the top to stay there. In our business now, AFL football with 18 teams, I thought it was hard enough when we were coaching back in the days of 12, but I would not put my hand up to go back into this. You've got 100-to-1 chance of doing what you're doing. And so many people are working in a very professional way, half an Allen, to get better, but in one of the toughest, well, it's the toughest game to play, I'm absolutely certain about that, in the world to play, against 18 who are trying to achieve exactly the same, and there can be one winner in the finish. You know, it's pretty tough business.
Let's move on to leadership competencies and emotional intelligence, Parker. What are they? Are they both learned?
Well, I am convinced. I've got a lot of people who will argue, and much smarter people than I, and think they have the research to produce it. But I have no doubt to ask a 19 or 20-year-old to take over and run an organisation of some kind, including a football team, etc. I don't reckon they've lived long enough, I really don't, to have experienced the kind of circumstances and situations which people have to go through to understand the dynamic of what's actually happening. And I'm convinced, we haven't had this argument or debate with Alan, but I'm convinced that most of the things that we become are learned. I mean, choosing your parents well is a very good start.
It's a good start, yes.
There's no doubt about it. We're all that. I tell everybody I got the quadrilla, I got chosen my parents well, got a good education, remained pretty healthy, and I live in Australia. I reckon I've got the quadrilla.
Yeah, you've done well.
So to me, and Al, you might argue, and a lot of people have got academics at Deakin who jump on me, I can't produce the research,
the evidence,
fact,
yes.
The evidence, that's it. Bloody scientists. Evidence to actually convince them. But I and leadership in a coaching sense to me is also a learned set of competencies. I don't think it's a genetically based thing at all, whilst it might help with the parents that you have. So I think that we need to think about it as a learned set of competencies. Now, if you read the article, a terrific article came out yesterday, where Brendan Sanderson, for the first time in the Addy at Geelong, talked about why he was sacked. And it's for your listeners,
I've read
too,
that. It is a
good one to read, because I would say, and we had a quick peruse of it before, that the eight facts, the eight things that he pointed himself, very difficult conversations he's had with himself, almost all come into what I would call management leadership elements of that role as coach, rather than the capacities to teach and coach and modify people's behaviour. I think it's a totally different set of competencies he's talking about, which he criticised himself enormously. It was it must have been really tough to have that conversation with himself and then to actually put it out there in writing. I dips my lip to it.
Well, we better read that article as well. We've got a bit of reading to do. We're going to go to Your Coach Online and read this one, and then we're going to read that one about Brenton Sanderson as well. We'll get to a break, back shortly. We are coming up to 2 o'clock. We'll find out all the latest news in sport after that. David Parkin's been our very special guest this afternoon with Alan Rodway. Got a great article on the website, yourcoachonline.com.au. What I know at 70 that I wish I'd known at 30. Parko, who's going to win the flag this year?
Whoever beats Hawthorn. And I think that might be Port Adelaide.
Port Adelaide. Okay, all right. Well, that's the challenge for Port Adelaide. And the challenge for
just
all
gave, the... Just gave him a big handicap to carry, didn't we?
And we're okay with that.
Yeah, we're okay with that.
Being Hawthorn
yeah.
men.
That's exactly
we
right.
are more than okay with that. Mate, it's been terrific to see you in here this afternoon. Thank you for sharing some of your wisdom with us this afternoon. Oh. I'm sure our listeners have loved every minute of it.
Fantastic.
Great to have you.
Thanks a lot, Parker, for doing it.
David Parkin, our special guest. Al, you're always welcome.
Thank
that's
you,
Parker, of course.
Thank you, mate.
We'll see you next week.